Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's time for your listener questions, including a great question from Kristen in Colorado about hints for tipping the Uber and Lyft drivers around Walt Disney World and much more. So stand by for that. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition, and Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to 56 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2018. I get excited every time I look at my iPhone. I can see how many days I have to go. I see a great picture. I get to customize this for each and every trip. And I know many of you take many, many trips. Use this app time and time again. And don't forget, tap on the days to go right there on your main screen for a little Easter egg for some fun for your planning for those ADRs and FastPass Plus. Check out these and other great apps. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our awesome Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You want to support the show? You don't want to spend any extra money, right? You're going to do that online shopping anyway during this holiday season. Support the Be Our Guest podcast by using our affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online purchases. You'll get all of your Prime benefits, no problem there. Costs you nothing extra, but we get a little help from Amazon, and it supports the show very much. When you do that online shopping this holiday season, bookmark it right now, and please support the show. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1247 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Hey, look, we're all here. We're back. We're going to have a great time, all three of us, answering your listener questions. Thanks for sending those in. Send those in to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. They'll go on the gigantic pile. It's amazing how many questions we get, but if you're lucky, we'll get to it here by 2020 or something. We're doing the best we can without going 24/7, and that ain't happening. I don't have time to hardly eat dinner right now, so we'll do the best we can. But we're going to have some fun today talking Disney. Joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less for all of your holiday 2017 coverage, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Well, we're trying, that's for sure. So for those who want, we have a very awesome preview of the new Sunset Seasons Greetings, a video on YouTube. So for the Mouse for Less. So if you want to see what it's all about, make sure you go to the Mouse for Less's YouTube channel and you'll get to see a preview. It's pretty awesome. I got to say,
it's pretty sweet. I mean, they'll take anything and use it as a canvas now for projection.
I mean, absolutely at this point. So for those who don't know, it's basically a new show that happens on Sunset Boulevard. There's a big video screen that kind of ties into everything that is projected onto the Hollywood Tower Hotel. And there are like four different vignettes, different shows. The shows are kind of like short. They're kind of like, you know, the segments are kind of short. They're like a minute or two in length. And I think they're kind of like the what you see with like the Tree of like Awakening and stuff like that. But there's one around the Muppets. There's one around like Mickey and Minnie and Classic Christmas. There's one around Frozen, of course. So, you know, it's a great little show, though.
Left out Toy Story. I think there's a Toy Story vignette,
too. There's Toy Story. Yeah. I knew there was four. I was like, what am I forgetting? Right. So
my boy Buzz. Yeah,
I know. That's the Hollywood Toy Hotel, which has gotten a little bit of flack on the internet.
So, you know what this is, though? It's if Cinderella Castle during, what was it called? Celebrate the Magic in the Tree of Life Awakening got together and had a love child. That's what Sunshine Seasons, whatever. I thought it was a restaurant at first.
Greetings.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was like a show down, you know, in the living, next to Living with the Land. When I first heard it, I'm like, wow, they're going all in.
Different type of thing.
It's too many names. We've got another acronym, too.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, freshly returned from Walt Disney World and an amazing Royal Caribbean cruise. What's going on, Pam?
Yes, both were amazing. And by the way, your description, the love child description, I heard that that was how that whole concept was discussed in the Disney boardroom. They used the words love child. So
Sunshine, Seasons, and the Tree of Life. Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, but yes, I'm back. Was in the world for a while, was on this fantastic Royal Caribbean cruise. And it was really an odd occurrence for me. And I'll share more about this next week, but I'm so blessed that I get the opportunity to travel with friends and family so often. And it's just so incredible to get to share those experiences with the people I care about. But the one thing I don't actually get to do very often is just travel with my immediate family. Like, just seriously, just the three of us.
You're usually stuck with me and Brian and Mike.
Oh, no. It's not stuck with because I enjoy it wholeheartedly. But it was really cool to get to spend time with just Steve and Hannah. And we had a 7-night cruise on Royal Caribbean, like Mike said, on the Oasis of the Seas. Now, this is the third or fourth time I've been on that class of ship. And I will tell you, Mike, I'm just saying.
No, I saw the videos.
Like
I'm saying this might be an advanced scouting for a BR Guest podcast cruise coming soon. Who knows? We might have to switch it up.
Could be. 2019 is coming up. It'll be here before we know it. And I will just say there are just so many wonderful things to do on that ship. Our cruise was planned to go to different ports, and because of the hurricane, that wasn't possible. We were like, what ports? Because we had so much to do on the ship. So, talk about zip lining, flow riding, all kinds of things on the ship, people. So anyways, we had a great time.
I can't wait to flow ride. I've got some experience with that. Not good at it because I'm from Missouri. There aren't too many flow ride people here in the Midwest, but I give it a good try. Good, probably got
not
a concussion.
Not here either.
Nowhere here. So.
Well, let's get to the questions. That's why we're here. Kristen's got the first one. She is in Colorado, approximately 1,428 miles from Pam. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I love listening to the show, and I'm looking forward to planning my December 2018 trip very soon. I wonder if you could give me some hints on the amounts to tip Uber and Lyft drivers and grocery delivery services like Dizzy Dolphin and Garden Grocer. Thanks for all you do, Kristen. All right, Pam, so... And I know, Ricky, Pam, you don't use them as much. So, Ricky, I'll give you this one first. Like, what about tipping Uber and Lyft? They've made it easier. Lyft originally let you tip within the app. Uber now lets you do that, thank goodness, because I'm not a person that carries cash. So that makes it so much nicer for me. What's your procedure on tipping transportation folks like that?
So I've only done it once, not at Walt Disney World. I actually did it at the Greek festival that was here in Atlanta, since the tipping has been a thing on the app. So I just did what the app told me to do. And that's kind of what I did. So I was like, that looks like enough. And I felt like that was the best way to do it. They'll give you a general suggestion in the app, and that's what I went with. Now, as for Garden Grocer and stuff like that, I haven't ever dealt with them, so I don't know exactly how much you would tip, and I'm sure PM might have a better suggestion for that.
But what I say for Uber and Lyft drivers, 20%, just like a server. Yeah. I mean, they're providing a service, and, you know, as long as you get what you're expecting, you get quality service, you get delivered there, the car's not,
yes,
you know,
make
trashed.
Sure you get delivered to where you're going. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, as long as, you know, they're not taking you forever, you know, they're doing what you're expected to get, 20%. Also, don't forget that these, as far as what I've been told, of course, I don't drive Uber or Lyft, but the ratings are like super, super important to these people, probably just as much as the tip. Of course, the tips are, you know, very much something they can use, but also the ratings, because that helps them earn more money in their future fares. So make sure you give them a good rating if you get a quality service there. So, Pam, what would you say for Uber and also the grocery deliveries?
Yeah, I'm a 20% person because it's easy math, and love to do the easy math. So I pretty much do that for almost any tip position like that, taxi, Uber, whatnot. Garden Grocer and things like that, you actually don't even get to see that person most of the time. They go ahead and leave it there, but there is an option, I think, to tip. At least there is for the Amazon Prime now. There is an option to go ahead and tip in the app or on the website when you order. And it's kind of like a flat fee. It's like a $5 fee or things like that. So I think look for a little guidance in that space when you're looking to tip those folks.
Yeah, to make it, you know, I even noticed at Texas Roadhouse last night, we were eating, you know, all of these, I think that, you know, Disney did this years and years ago, especially when the dining plan came about. wow, probably about 10 years ago now, where it would say suggested tip 15%, 20%, you know, 18%. And they give you the amount, you know, which makes it super easy. Because like you said, you don't want to do the math. But I mean, most places now are, like Ricky said, they'll give you suggested tips. Really, all you got to do is just write it in or, you know, click on it.
Yep.
Pretty much. They make peasy. It super easy.
That's right. And folks, you know, that's how these people make their living. So I try to, you know, do what I can. You know, I'm lucky to be at Walt Disney World. How cool is that? That's you know, if you can help somebody out, help somebody out. All right. Hannah's up next. And it's not your hand, Pam, that I can
like,
tell.
What?
I just spent all this time with her.
Now she's got questions?
Oh, wait. 0 miles from Pam. No, just kidding. Hannah says, hey, guys, first of all, love the show. And I know you hear this a lot, but it's helped me so much. So thank you. Thank you. I currently have a package booked for September of 2018, and right now we have the promo for the special magic bands. Does that block me from getting or attempting to get the free dining promotion that usually rolls out later at that time? All right, Pam, do you want to speak to that? Because there's this new option that's on. You can apply it to selected non-discounted packages where you get special magic bands. So, A, is that going to exclude anybody from future discounts? And B, just a little bit about that real quick, Pam.
Okay, so here's how it works. Right now, if you have a non-discounted 2018 Walt Disney World Vacation Package booked, we can go ahead and apply the discount that allows you to receive those special magic bands in the special box. As long as you do it, you'll have to do it really quick because it has to be booked and you have to order the magic bands by the 15th. Now, If you've booked one of these packages and this is on there to get the special magic band, after the magic band ships, we'll be able to apply whatever other promotion comes out at a later date. So that's the beauty of this package. It will not preclude you from qualifying for any other packages and any other discounts. And that's the beauty of this system. You just can't apply it to a reservation that already has a discount booked because Disney's system is just, frankly, not smart enough to be able to interpret two discounts at once. And it's not really something they typically want to have you do anyways. You can't just, you know, you can't get an annual pass discount and free dining. That's just not possible. So that's how the system works. And it won't stop you at all. So go ahead. And that's the thing I think is the beauty of this, too. I think it's another encouragement for anyone who's considering a 2018 vacation. Go ahead and book it now. Seriously, book it, you know, by the 15th, because you'll get these magic bands for free. So how cool is that? And these are going to be cool magic bands. So.
Yeah. And what they're doing is they're just making it a tangible thing to put under the tree, you know, that because people have done this in the past and, you know, very creative ways that, you know, how do you wrap up a vacation, you know? And it's like Disney has probably seen many, many times people order the magic bands, they put them in cool boxes, they put notes, they go on scavenger hunts on Christmas morning. You know, how can we do this for our guests? Because it's not a discount. It's just, it's a way to present your family with, hey, we're going to Walt Disney World, which I think is a cool thing. You know, and then you can get the discounts later.
Who doesn't want a Disney trip under the tree or for a Hanukkah gift or whatever celebration you celebrate in December? I mean, it's an awesome gift. So.
Yeah, I'm up for it. Also, very excited to find out that you can use your Disney movie rewards points to get Disney gift cards to use on the trip. I was just able to redeem my points for $40 in gift cards on the webpage. Thanks, Hannah. Ricky, did you know anything about this Disney? I know there's a Disney movie club, but apparently you accrue points and you can turn those points, I guess, not into movies, but into Disney gift cards. Who would have known?
I mean, any chance I can get to turn something into Disney gift cards for kind of free, I'm all for it. So that's cool. That's right. A good suggestion.
It is. I have heard, though, that they're limited. They're not available all the time. And I think it actually limits your account to the amount that you can order per year. And I don't know what those limits are, but anyways, they're not always available, but absolutely. It's a great thing. So you're already buying the Disney DVDs. You might as well, and go into the Disney movies. You might as well get the points for it.
Amen. All right. Sabrina's up next. Hey guys, first, I love your podcast. My son and I listen to it on the way to drop him off at school. It's always nice to have some Disney to start the day. Well, she doesn't put her son's name, but, you know, he's 8.
Hey.
So, hey.
Hey, 8-year-old guy.
That's right. Do your homework and pay attention in class today. Remember math. You got to reduce those fractions. If you're 8, that's probably what you're doing about this time of year. Anyway, I have a couple of questions. I'm planning a trip for next May after I graduate from law school. Wow. My son is 8 and has been awesome during the years I've been in school and working full time. He really is a trooper and always helpful and quiet when I do homework. So it's sort of a grad trip to relax a bit before I take the bar, but mostly a thank you trip to my son. We'll be going for 9 days, the first 3 of those at the other park to see Harry Potter stuff. When we switch to Disney, we're renting points at Animal Kingdom Lodge with a Savannah view. Number 1, what special activities would you suggest? My first thought was to do the Animal Kingdom Wild Africa trek, but my son thinks, and she's got it bold, he's afraid of heights, and it would be a challenge to get him to do the rope bridge. He'd love it once he did it, though. Any other suggestions? All right, let's stop there. She has 3 questions about this. So, Pam, he's not sure, but he's got a little bit of a fear of the heights there. And if you go on Kilimanjaro Safaris, you've probably seen the folks on the rope bridge there. Kind of, is it over the alligator pit? Is that what it's over?
Yep.
Okay, so, I mean, it sounds like, you know, he needs to kind of get out of his comfort zone and probably do this together. I think he would enjoy it. But what would be an alternate of something he might enjoy besides that, staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
I think that you can consider doing one of the tours there at the lodge. They still have the Wanyama Safari at night, which takes place there at the lodge. There's also a tour at the lodge that occurs during the day, which includes lunch. So that's something you may want to, it's not at Animal Kingdom, but it's at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So I think that would be a fun thing too. I think anytime you can get any interaction with the cast that work there at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the beauty of that is it's almost like they're, you know, like a docent there at your museum or, you know, other facility in your local area. They're so knowledgeable of the culture of the animals and willing and excited to share that with you. So consider that as well. You just have a really great resource there at the Animal Kingdom.
And I wish I had this young man's name, but let me just speak to him real quick here before you head off to class here, you know, in your car. It's safe. You're going to be fine. I used to, for years, if you've listened to the podcast, I was scared to fly on airplanes and I wouldn't do it. I drove for 16 hours so I wouldn't have to get on an airplane. And it was crazy. Drove all night. I was a maniac. But when I took that chance and got on that airplane, it was such a fun experience. I love it now. It's one of the greatest things, seeing the world from that perspective. I think if you take that chance and go on this tour with your mom, you're going to have a great time. You're going to feel accomplished. You're going to feel you're going to get some cool experiences you wouldn't otherwise have. So I'm going to encourage you just to try to, you know, conquer that fear. You know, you're 8 years old, going on 9 probably. You've been a great son, helping your mom through law school, doing your role, doing your part. So I'm going to give you a little pat on the back there. Give it a shot. I think you'll enjoy it because I think you guys would have a great time. All right, this one's for Ricky. Question number 2. Where should we go for a special dinner that we would both enjoy? Suggestions for both Universal and Disney would be great. My son isn't a super adventurous eater, but he's happy eating chicken nuggets if there is a cool atmosphere. So where could they go for a cool dinner, both Universal and Walt Disney World? Looking atmosphere more than food, it sounds like.
Okay. So if you're going for atmosphere more than food, you absolutely want to go to one of the restaurants at The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. That's unequivocally one of the best dining experiences that you can have. Now, I know it's counter service, but that's okay because the food really is like, it's like a step up. So you've got rotisserie chicken, you've got shepherd's pie, you've got like, nothing comes with french fries, it comes with a salad. You know, my shepherd's pie a couple weeks ago came with a salad instead. So, And the chicken, there's ribs, there's tons of great choices. It's high quality, like it was a really good meal. The other fun environment at Universal that I might suggest would be like the Simpsons, Springfield, USA. They have a lot of unique dining establishments in there. You've got to get the chicken and waffle sandwich, which is fantastic as well. So those are going to be like my suggestions over at Universal. At Disney, the place that came to my head immediately, and I think that you said it's just the two of them. So I'm going to say maybe go to Sci-Fi Dine-In. I think that, you know, if it's just the two of them, they're going to sit in the car together. So I think that you'll be able to still be able to talk with each other. You've got the kind of sci-fi movies up on the screen. And I think that that's kind of a fun atmosphere for that kind of thing. So I'm going to suggest sci-fi.
Sounds good. I'm going to throw in one for Walt Disney World that I think you might both enjoy and that I think you would get a kick out of. Hoop-de-doo Review over at Fort Wilderness.
True.
That'd be a good time. It's a show. It's great food. It's not chicken nuggets. It's fried chicken, but, you know, comfort foods. It's very good. So, Pam, any other suggestions for this great meal, mom and son?
I think always, you know, when you're thinking of someplace fun to eat, you got to throw Whispering Canyon Cafe into that mix. It's just a lot of good fun. And also, I think that Boma has that possibility as well. Plus, they'll be there at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I think, you know, sometimes it's great to just walk down to the restaurant at your hotel. There's a lot to be said for that. And then, you know, also, I agree with Ricky. There are so many great places to eat at Universal. I think that they really do. Their counter service in a lot of ways is just really good. There's a lot of great options, but there's also, don't discount the options there at City Walk. There's Margaritaville and NBC Grill, and Antojitos has great Mexican food. So I would consider one of those as well.
I just heard chicken and waffles and Mexican food at Universal. I'm starting my meters moving from zero towards 10.
Not a bad place. Yeah, Antojitos is no joke good. So,
just saying, yeah. Man, you know how to get to a guy. It's through his stomach, boy. That's
especially Mike Roman.
I could care less about Harry Potter, but Mexican food and chicken and waffles, man. Now you're talking my language. All right, last question. We'll start with Ricky. Since we're adding Universal this year, we're cutting an Epcot day. What is the best way to cram all of Epcot into just one day? We go to Disneyland a couple times each year, so we're okay with skipping Soarin', although we'd rather not, if it meant getting other things in. Thanks for all your help. You guys are great. Sabrina. All right, so best suggestions for making the... You got one Epcot day. You want to see the best of the best. What are you doing? Like, what's your strategy to attack it?
So I typically do one day at Epcot, and I can get in most of everything that I want to do, especially if I strategically place my fast passes. So I would say get a fast pass. Try if you can to get a fast pass for Frozen Ever After. If you can't get that fast pass, then choose either Soarin' or Test Track, depending on which one that you want to do. And then, which I would assume it would probably be Test Track, since, you know, you kind of said that you have Soarin' kind of already at California. So, and then you can still potentially wait in line for Soarin' if you'd like to, first thing in the morning or something like that, when the waits are kind of lower. Then you can hit up Spaceship Earth. It's pretty easy to then hit, once you have those attractions done, you can hit up the Seas with Nemo and Friends pretty easily. Living with the Land is a must, although, you know, I don't know how... how Youngin would do with it, but I love it. And then Figment, and then you can head over, since there's not Universe of Energy anymore, you can still hit up the Mission Space. Make sure you do that. The green side is going to be the side I suggest that you go on, because it's a lot. It's not as throw-up-y as the other side is. The orange side is a little more intense. Oh. Yeah. So
I think that's down in the small print.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's not as throw-up-y. Yeah, exactly.
And the symbol for it's a little weird. But I'm yeah,
I was going to say it's not as Sinise, but we'll go with that. So go ahead.
Yeah. There's that, and then. Kind of the nice, let's go with that. And then you can kind of wander around World Showcase at your leisure. You know, that's usually what I do when I do my trips. So you can get in most of everything at Epcot in one day, typically. You know, you may not be able to spend as much time in, like, the countries and stuff like that as you may want to. But, you know, I think that that's going to be your best course of action.
Basically, in a nutshell, Frozen Ever After, Fast Pass, the other two Fast Passes in Future World, Rope Drop, Future World, go to World Showcase when you get everything done. And then make sure you stay for Illuminations. That's the best part of a Epcot day, to me, I think.
Sure.
All right, Melissa's up next. She says, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, my fiance and I are getting married on December 2nd of this year and fly out the next morning for a honeymoon at Disney World. Congratulations. We're so excited. Well, maybe I am more than him. I'm still training him to be as much of a Disney fan as I am. We're annual pass holders and have a ticket to the Very Merry Christmas Party and a candlelight processional dinner package with Jodie Benson as the narrator.
Nice.
The Little Mermaid. I'm so excited about that because I am a huge Little Mermaid fan. Anyway, I have two questions. Number one, for our processional dinner package, I have us eating at the Coral Reef Cafe. I've never been there, but I was told it's darker and can make for a more romantic dinner. What do you all think of this choice for food and atmosphere-wise? Did I make a good choice, or should I keep looking for something else? All right, I love the wall carpet. You know, that's the wall carpet's very romantic.
That's so also, 80s.
But you know what? I've been here twice, and I really enjoy it because it feels like you're stepping back in time. And I mean, I like that stuff. I love retro stuff. it's got, you know, you're talking romance. Wasn't there like a Full House episode where somebody proposed from the tank, right? No, maybe. Was there something with the tank?
John Stamos was down in the tank. They were doing a radio show from there.
There you go.
Underwater. So
perfect. I mean, talk about they're looking for, obviously it's their honeymoon, looking for romantic dining. They're going to have this awesome experience with a candlelight procession with Jodie Benson, probably one of the top, if not the top narrators right there with Neil Patrick Harris for most people. What would you say? I mean, would you stick with Coral Reef or is there somewhere else you might suggest?
As long as you've looked at the menu and there's something on there that appeals to you, I think that's the biggest thing. It's so funny because World Showcase is one of those places that I think it is challenge. Everyone has a different opinion because everyone has different taste, and the food served at each one of the restaurants is so different and unique to that country. So I think Coral Reef's a good choice. We actually really enjoy Rose and Crown. We like being able to sit outside, but in December, sometimes the weather, it's hard to know whether that weather is going to be nice enough to sit outside or not.
I've heard that in December, the weather outside can be frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
I know. And unfortunately, there's no fire there. St. Angel Inn, because it is in the dark, I think it's a little romantic too. I will just say, looking out over the boats. You know, the food gets good and bad reviews, I think. And so that's something you have to take into consideration too. There's lots of great choices. And if you've looked at the menu and you thought that's something that appeals to me, then I say go for it.
All right, Ricky, here we go. Looking at dessert packages for holiday wishes and saw there is one at the Tomorrowland Terrace and one in the Garden. Which do you suggest? So what's the difference for people that are looking at those dessert parties at the Magic Kingdom? What's the difference between Tomorrowland Terrace and the Garden?
So both of the dessert parties actually happen at the Tomorrowland Terrace starting. So you're going to go there and you're going to get your desserts and all the drinks that you want and everything like that there. Then if you do the Tomorrowland Terrace version, you stay at the Tomorrowland Terrace and you view the fireworks from there. Now, it is a little off center, but you do have a seat. So there's that. Now, if you decide that you want to do the Plaza Garden area, then about 15 minutes or so before the show, you'll head out to the specific area that they have designated for the dessert party. And it's actually on Main Street. So that's kind of the perk of getting that one. Also, that one is a little bit cheaper. So if you're debating which one you want to do, personally, I'm going to go for the one that takes you out on Main Street instead of the one that takes you to the Tomorrowland Terrace, where you're viewing it. So I'm going to go with that one.
All right. I mean, that's what I would do, too. It sounds like a better deal mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
All right. Melissa says, thanks so much. Melissa's from Terre Haute, Indiana, hoping for a better Cardinals season next year. Also, she says Terre Haute is about 6.5 hours from Pam. She says, sorry, but I had to join the fun. There you go. That's nothing fun. Let's see here. So Will has our next question, or might be a comment. It says, Mike, I have a banana allergy, too. And you know what? I've gotten emails and messages on social media from at least four other listeners who have banana allergies. Remember, Ricky, how we were talking about that? How I forgot how it even came up. I don't even remember how it came up. But I seriously, bananas make me break out like nobody's business. And like, I have a serious, even to touch them, I can't touch them. And during the marathon at mile 17 over by the Animal Kingdom, maybe mile 15, 16, 17, I can't remember. But there's this alley where they're giving away bananas both sides of the road, man. There's like 100 volunteers, 50 on each side, everybody holding like a banana in each hand, like guns. And they're like trying to hand them to you. And like, I'm telling you, I got to dodge it. Like, it's like, you know, it's like walking over landmines. Like, I'm trying to not die because it's ridiculous. They're trying to give me potassium. They're trying to kill me, really. I mean, I need like a big sign saying, don't touch me. But anyway, so Will says, I have a banana allergy too. I have never met anyone else with a banana allergy either. And people think it's so odd. There we go. We're odd together.
See, I guess because it's such an uncommon allergy. I don't know.
I think I call it the cool kids club, but that's just me. That's what my doctor said. No, you're just a part of the cool kids club.
There you go.
Anyway, so he says, I've actually been wondering what to do about the bread pudding when we eat at Ohana. Do you eat it with just the ice cream, or are there pieces of banana in the bread pudding as well? Of course, I think Tonga toast is out of the question. Thanks. And actually, that's not from Will. It's from Sherry from Dallas. So Sherry, hang in there. I feel like your pain. You know what? I don't like bread pudding, so I don't eat it. And I don't like Tonga toast. I'm obviously not going to eat it. So so does bread pudding have banana in it? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's banana bread pudding. But you can always just, you know, when you're making your reservation, I would just actually ask them to note that you have a banana allergy. And when you get there at the podium, also, you know, you're going to want to reiterate that to them. The chef may come out and talk to you about that, or maybe not. It just depends on, you know, how severe your allergy is. But I think they'll have an alternative for you in terms of dessert.
Maybe I should run one of the dopey races in a banana suit, like, because I think we have one. I think Paige bought one for cross country.
That would be a terrible idea.
And I'll just put like allergy on the chest. You know, so like, don't mess with me. I'm the banana allergy.
Oh my goodness!
Because I have one. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's me. I don't want a banana. I don't want to get
no,
bananas.
That's true. And then when they are trying to hand you bananas, you can be like, nope,
can't do it. Banana man running 26.2. Nope, can't do it. Give me a gel. Give me some Hershey's miniatures or some Dove chocolates. I'm not allergic to chocolate. You know, thank goodness. At least I'm allergic to stuff that doesn't taste good. You know, like if I was allergic to chocolate, Lord help.
Bananas taste delicious. Don't eat.
Okay, whatever. Don't even. Anyway, Jen's got the next
question. And we were talking about it because we were talking about plantains, by the way.
That's how it started. You were like, you need to eat your plantains. Like, would kill me. Anyway. So Jen says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Thank you for helping me prep each week for our upcoming trip. We'll be staying at Coronado Springs from December 10th through the 16th with our two kids who are 7 and 9. I'm wondering about the nighttime fireworks cruises. We want to do something special on this trip. Can you tell me more information about them? How do they work? Which one would you recommend? Would, could, should we schedule one on a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party to take advantage of seeing that special show that we won't see because we're not going to the party? Or is there a different recommendation that you would have to do something special with my family? Thanks again. Jen is in Green Bay, Wisconsin, about 720 miles from Pam. There we go. So geography every day. So
I love that.
We have all
I'm
these
learning.
Fireworks. I know, seriously. I'm picturing like a big map in the studio with like the yarn, like all these points from Pittsburgh. That'd be sweet. Okay, so fireworks cruises, obviously going out on Seven Seas Lagoon, going on World Showcase Lagoon. Well, not actually going out there, but kind of under the bridge by France for Illuminations. I've done all of them. I enjoy Illuminations the best, and I really enjoy that cruise. Pam, what would you walk her through? So how do they work, first of all, and which one would you recommend?
So you go ahead, you'll have to reserve those in advance through the 407-WW play number. That's the one that you go ahead and do. You'll choose your date, and they'll give you the time for pickup at that point and your pickup location, which can vary depending on where the boats are going out of that night and what's available and what kind of cruise that you're booking. There's a large Magic Kingdom one that, you know, takes a bunch of people on the boat. And then there are also more private ones where you get your own pontoon boat too. So you'll want to consider that. At Epcot, of course, then you have the pontoon boat where you have your own pontoon boat. And I believe they take the Chris Craft boat out as well, but you could only be a party of two for that one. And that, again, you'll have to look into those because, you know, the things with the boat and these cruises, that the information changes often and can depend on your travel dates too. So look into all of those to see which one you like. Like Mike, I tend to lean towards the Illumination ones. And the reason I do for that, although I really, you know, I enjoy the Magic Kingdom fireworks so much, but especially in this installment with the happier I'm forgetting the name, Happily Ever After. It didn't quite roll off my tongue, but with Happily Ever After, part of that show is the projections onto the castle, which you can't really see and appreciate from the, you know, anywhere really other than Main Street, in my opinion. Although you can see them from a few different locations, it's just not being the same. And again, you'd be able to see them somewhat from the boats, but I just don't think it's the same. I really like to be right up close and personal with that. Now, for the Illuminations cruises, on the other hand, I feel like the view you get from those boats is actually far superior to the view that you get on land for a few different reasons, but it's just kind of a cool location as well. The thing to note about is with the illuminations one is, depending on the wind, that smoke from the fireworks can be, you know, can be coming towards you. So keep that in mind. And if you're really sensitive to that, it may not be the one that works for you. But that's the one I prefer.
Yeah, I would say with the projections at the Magic Kingdom, it makes the cruise more beneficial to see the Illuminations cruise, because you're just seeing fireworks and lasers and, you know, the effects are, you'll see everything with Illuminations up close and personal. Plus, you kind of feel like a VIP. You're parked there under the bridge by France. Everybody's kind of looking down on you. It's kind of fun that way. But I mean, either's great. I've done the Wishes one a couple times, but with projections, you're not going to see all that. So, all right. So hopefully you have a great time. All right. Let's get to the next question. It's from Zachary in North Carolina. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My wife and I are heading down to the world in late April, and we're going to be running in the Star Wars Dark Side 10K and half marathon. This is our first Run Disney event and our first half marathon. We're going to be staying at Pop Century the mornings before each race. What time do you suggest leaving Pop Century to get to the starting line before the 5:30 start time? We're planning on taking Disney transportation and don't want to be late. Thanks for your help and love the podcast, Zach. All right, here's, so we've all, Ricky, I know you've done some of the races. Pam, you've had to navigate the transportation systems early in the morning. I will say, this is just me, I like to be on the very first bus, and usually they'll tell you when the buses start running in your packet when you go to the expo, you get your stuff. It's typically 3 o'clock or 3:30, one of those two times. I would say if it's a 5:30 start, it's probably, it might even be 2:30, because it's usually about 3 hours before start. I get on that first bus and then I freeze while I stand there, but I'm always paranoid about being late. So the lines get super long if you try to catch those last buses and get that extra 15 minutes of sleep, which I don't think is worth it because you're paranoid you're going to miss the start. You know, I would say you're probably going to be getting on the bus around 3 o'clock a.m. What do you? I know Zach probably thinks this is crazy, but that's how it works. Ricky, any suggestions? Anything else on that?
No, I mean, I think that's the best suggestion. Now, Brian would say get on the last bus, and then you don't have, then when you get there late and everybody's like in the corrals, you can use the bathroom without having to wait.
That's true. There's advantages both ways. I freak out though. I can't. I want to do that, but I can't. I freak out.
That's what Brian did the last race he did. I forget which one it was, and he's like, "Yeah, I just like moseyed on up, and the corral was going as soon as I walked up." And he's like, "I just started running."
I hate that. I hate that. I hate that because I'm there like, you know, I'm there 6 hours before the race. I'm locking up because I'm so cold. Yeah, that I hate that.
Yeah, he has no problem with that. So, so yeah, if you really don't care, you can go on the last bus and then just take off whenever you want. So,
all right, okay, that's a good one. So, take your choice and let us know how it goes in April. Which one you pick? I gotta know. All right, last question today comes from Michael. He's in Woodbridge, Ontario, Canada, 517 kilometers. From Pam, or 321 miles. Hi, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. My wife, three kids, and myself had our first trip to Disney in July of 2016, 12 nights at Port Orleans Riverside, and loved it. We're planning to head back in July of 2018 if Toy Story Land is open. Two questions. Do you think Toy Story Land will be open by July? And more importantly, when would we know for sure? All right, Ricky, this is kind of in your wheelhouse, and there's really no good answer for this, but I'm going to throw it to you because there's no good answer.
Thanks. I love you too. Yeah, so really, unfortunately, there is no good answer. Disney is saying summer of 2018 for Toy Story Land. If I had to take a guess, I would say that it will probably be open by Memorial Day weekend. That is me guessing. Disney tends to like to open their stuff for the beginning of the summer, and the beginning of summer is usually Memorial Day weekend. However, with that caveat being said, things can happen, and things can happen with construction and stuff like that. I do know they have been testing the coaster. I've seen that they've been testing. They've put up, you know, some, they're starting to put up, I think Rex has arrived on site. They're definitely getting there with the coaster and the land. And so I would expect that it will probably be open by Memorial Day. That's me taking my conjecture and guess as to when they will announce it. Your guess is as good as mine. so, I mean, they will probably announce the opening day, the official opening day, I would say probably, if I really had to guess, about 2 months before, or a little bit before 2 months before, just so that they can start to get the Fast Pass reservations. again, that's just a guess on when and if they might announce it. I would say no less than 2 months before. So anytime between now and 2 months before it's officially supposed to open. Yay! Yeah, sorry, I can't give you a lot of help. But
Disney doesn't help
us. They don't want a Rivers of Light situation where they, I think that they learned their lesson with that, where they said, hey, Rivers of Light is going to open on this day. And not even close. So
I would just base it on like the way they opened Pandora. Look at that, because that's the closest land being open to this, and that was kind of more extensive than Toy Story Land's gonna be. But what I would say is, like Ricky said, I would go maybe 3 months in advance that they'll announce it, just because that'll give them a little leeway, about a month before they have to start dealing with fast passes for on-site guests.
That's funny, because at 2 months for Pandora, there you go. If I remember.
I mean, you probably start hearing the rumblings and the rumors, maybe 3 months in advance, and then a few weeks later, who knows? Okay, so here's the last question he has. This one's for Pam. Would you rather do another 12-night stay at Riverside, or would you rather do a 10-day trip to the Polynesian? We loved Riverside, but we're open to a nicer place, and dogs being allowed at Riverside now isn't a plus for us. Total price of the trip is pretty close. The kids are 10, 7, and 7. Thank you for the podcast. I listen to every show, and it helps the commute or my evening walk. Michael. Well, thanks for taking us along. We appreciate that, Michael. All right, Pam, so 12 nights Riverside, 10 nights at the Polynesian, 10, 7, and 7 for the kids.
So I can hear people right now, as I'm going to say these words, screaming at their phone or computer or however they listen to this. But I'm going to say 10 nights at the Polynesian. And the reason is, and I was actually thinking of this a lot while I was out of the office, experiencing Walt Disney World and the Royal Caribbean product, that I think so often people, when you're looking at all of the things that you factor in when considering your vacation, one of the things that people don't often factor in, and it's very challenging to put a price on, is your comfort, your leisure, the surroundings of the resort. And I think since you have three kids, the Polynesian is going to give you a little bit of extra room. It's going to give you the monorail ride over to the Magic Kingdom. It's going to give you boat transportation over to the Magic Kingdom. The Polynesian is also in a perfect location so that you can walk over to the TTC and therefore have monorail transportation over to Epcot. You'll be able to see the fireworks from your resort, from, the Magic Kingdom fireworks there. And I think some nights, especially when you're taking a vacation that's, let's say, over 3 or 4 nights, at one point you're going to hit the wall. Everyone's going to be tired. They're not going to want to do what you've planned. And the fact that you'll be able to just stay at your resort and be able to go out onto the beach and see the fireworks, I think helps everyone feel like they've still, kind of had a good evening. They've still done something, but everyone kind of relaxes too. You'll also have the pool. That volcano pool over at the Polynesian is fantastic. Also, the smaller pool is great too. There's some great locations there. You're just a monorail ride away from great restaurant locations. So that's why I'm really going to give the nod to the Polynesian, especially because you're only really cutting the trip short, 2 nights short. And I think it's a great compromise. And I think you'll just have a great experience, regardless of where you stay. But if it were up to me, I'd do 10 nights at the Polynesian.
When it's so easy to do what you're comfortable with because you enjoyed the place you went to before. And I'm really bad about this, I love that place. I got to go back, and I think there's something to be said for a new experience, and especially something like the Polynesian, where it is really what Walt Disney World's all about. It's almost like the ultimate Walt Disney World experience.
Yes, it is. It really is. And that's the thing. That's always the constant. Do you go with the thing that you know, right? That you know you like, or do you try something new? And I think, I'm one that often tries something new, and I try to push myself to do that because it's exciting. And it could be better. It could be worse. It could be the same, but you won't know unless you try.
That's so true. All right. Well, thank you so much for those great questions. Keep them coming to Mike@BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And let me tell you what, this app is smoking lately. Disney is putting out so much news. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I even if you have an iPhone 10, it's like burned the bezels right off that sucker, the home button. I mean, it's because of Theme Park News, Disney Edition, a free iOS app. Ricky, what are we reading about this week? I mean, there's so much, but pick a story. What could we read about?
Well, thank you for stalling for me.
That's what I do. I knew it.
So we are going to be talking about, there are quite a few things, new restaurants. So we're going to have the new Choza de Margarita, which is going to be opening soon at the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot. Now, this was announced about a year ago, so it's taking a long time to build a walk-up window for, you know, margaritas.
Hey, as long as it's open, and I'm not even saying like a certain date, as long as it's open by the time I hit mile 25 on the marathon Sunday, I'm good, you know, because our tradition.
Let's hope. They've been building this sucker for a while. So they have three handcrafted margaritas. They're going to have three frozen margaritas. They're going to have Mexican beers, non-alcoholic Mexican fruit punch. Small bites are going to include some tacos, some empanadas, fresh guacamole, that kind of thing. So that's going to be good. And then when we head over to Disney Springs, there's going to be three new Italian restaurants there too. So by the Patina Group, Maria and Enzo's Hideaway, and Pizza Ponte.
I need to know who is Enzo? Like, Enzo's got two of the three restaurants. Who is Enzo?
I think we're going to learn who Enzo is.
That's awesome.
I'm saying.
There's been a lot of news lately
about food, and I'm okay with that.
Enzo was actually one of my favorite Big Brother players. He called himself the Meow Meow. BB14, I think it was. Part of the brigade. Anyway, our Big Brother fans will know what I'm talking about. But hey, you can read all this great news, Theme Park News Disney Edition. Download it today, free iOS app. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, as you do that holiday shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark it. Use it often. You get all your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to duck out of here. And, we'll be back again on Friday, as always. We're going to dive into the old Walt Disney World closet of things that have been put away from years past. And we're going to go rooting through there and pull out some of those things that we miss and that we'd bring back. So we hope you'll join us for that. And be a part of the show through social media as well on Friday. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome Wednesday. But it's time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.